59. So we have a lot of verses here to cover. So let's dig in. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 59. Let's start at verse 30, actually, for context. It says, "Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants. You are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father.' 'Abraham is our father,' they answered. If you were Abraham's children,' said Jesus, 'then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does.' 'We are not illegitimate children,' they protested. 'The only father we have is God himself.' Jesus said to them, 'If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God.' The Jews answered him, 'Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?' 'I am not possessed by a demon,' said Jesus, 'but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death.' At this, the Jews exclaimed, 'Now we know you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?' Jesus replied, 'If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, who you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad.' 'You are not yet 50 years old,' the Jews said to him. 'Are you? And you have seen Abraham?' 'I tell you the truth,' Jesus answered. 'Before Abraham was born, I am.' At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Your word is precious, and your word is truth. As you prayed in to your disciples, you said, "Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Lord, may we be hungry for your word always, that we store it in our hearts and know the truth always. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of scriptures here, a lot of passages to go through, and I stressed on this. I was like, where am I going to start with this? How am I going to bring this all together? But the Lord is good. The book of John was written by the Apostle John to prove conclusively that Jesus is the Son of God and that all who believe in him can have eternal life. The gospel isn't about the life of Christ, but it's a powerful argument for the incarnation and a conclusive demonstration that Jesus is who he said he is, the very heaven-sent Son of God and the only source of eternal life. The book of John makes this case very strongly. In these passages, we see people who believe and then unbelief. We see an argument or a debate back and forth between Jesus and the Jews. And Jesus makes it clear in this passage who his true disciples are. And we're going to take a look at that. There are those who claim to be his disciples and those who are not his disciples. There are those who are in the truth, those who are not in the truth. And Jesus himself, we know, is the truth. The word truth is interesting all throughout these passages that I read. The word truth is mentioned 9 times. So I had to hone in on that. I had to look at that, and we'll look at the truth. We also see those who hold to the word, the teaching of Jesus, those who do not have room for his word. And we see passages like this, verses several times in here, numerous times. There are those who are able to hear the voice of God and those who cannot recognize. And because they can't recognize the voice of God, they can't recognize who Jesus is. It all comes down to the exclamation point at the end of this chapter, I am. I'm going to take a look at that, one of the most powerful statements made in Scripture. Now, the Jews here in this passage, basically, they had religion, and it wasn't a good religion. They were basically held captive to their traditions and the extra stuff added on to the law. And they really weren't in a true relationship with God. And Jesus makes that known. If they did have a true relationship with God, they would hear God's voice and they would know who Jesus was, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, I find it interesting, you can, and we mentioned this earlier too in the men's study, you can talk to a lot of people who say that they're Christians and they go to church. They attend a church on a regular basis. They may even have a title in that church. They go all the church functions and they even have some of the right words. And when you talk to some of these people, you come to find out that they really don't know much about the Word of God. And as a result, their truth is lacking. You know, there's a more of a world philosophy that captures them versus the truths of Scriptures. So people have religion. And I just believe the Jews here, they had religion is what they had. So this morning, we want to look at those who are trusting in the wrong person or religion and believe that they are saved. And they don't have room for Jesus or his word. And they reject the truth. We're going to look also at those who are true disciples, those who hear the word of God, they can hear his voice, and they continue in the word. And then we'll look at the end of I am, and Jesus as God. So here in chapter 8, in verse 30, we read, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Well, that's about to change here pretty quickly. Verse 31 says that, if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the Jewish people were from the lineage of Abraham, God's chosen people, and they often referred to themselves as the children of Abraham. And they believed, because of that, that they were guaranteed entry into heaven based on the covenant God established with Abraham. That's all we need. We're just from Abraham. We're good to go. And because of this, they believed that they were children of God. And verse 41 says, the only father we have is God himself. So the Jews here believe that they're good to go. We are true children and in need of nothing else. We have Abraham. I'm all right. They don't understand that the truth is that they're in pretty bad shape. Most people that are don't know that. They were sinners in bondage to sin and legalism. They were religious people who were lacking the most important thing, a Savior who could set them free from their sins. Abraham couldn't do that. It's something only Jesus can do. You know, in today's society, there's plenty of people looking for freedom. Jesus mentions in here, if you know, the Son will set you free indeed. People want freedom today for all kinds of things. Depression, anxiety, drugs, guilt, free from the burdens of life. I just need freedom from all these things. And what they fail to understand and see is that you can be free from all this stuff in life, but if you don't deal with the issue of sin in your life, it's all for naught. You can have all your problems solved on earth, but if that's not addressed, you die, you lose, game over. No eternity, at least not with God. Jesus can settle the sin issue and deliver us from the bondage of sin and give us eternal life. Amen? Thank God for him. Have you ever handed someone a tract? You give them something to read, or you try to witness the gospel to them, and a lot of times the response is they push it back, and you say, no, I'm good to go. I'm okay. The religious need to understand this too. You know, I've spoken to people before who will tell me, you know, my grandparents went to church, and because I'll ask them, you know, have you been to church, or do you go to church, or you believe, oh, yeah, well, you know, my grandparents and my mom and so-and-so and my Uncle John, and I said, no, what about you? No, I'm good to go. They don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. But they feel like they're good to go. See, I'm kind of religious. You know, I talk to God. I don't have to go to church to do that. Like the Jews who thought they had an in because of Abraham, and they were good to go, these people think they have an in because of their family connections or whatever. I'm good to go. I'm a member of a church even, yet they don't know the truths of God. They need to be set free from their sins. That's the big issue here, freedom from sins. Sin has a way of enslaving us, controlling us, dominating us, and dictating our actions. And Jesus can set us free from all of that, make us out to be what God wants us to be. He can break the power of sin in our lives. There is that power there to do that. Jesus makes the case to the Jews who claim to be children of God because they are descendants of Abraham that they're far from it. He says, there is no truth in you. You have no room for my word. And on top of that, you are trying to kill me. Totally the opposite of what your father Abraham would do. So now it comes out. These once supposed believers are not true disciples. They want to kill him. It's like, yeah, Abraham would have done that, right? No. Let's go back to verse 31 again. It says, to the Jews who had believed on him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. To be a true disciple of Jesus, there is a continuing in the faith. You get saved, you continue on. Now, you may for a time fall back. You know, I've had to crawl sometimes. And I've had to walk slow at times, but I'm in this for the long haul. But we need to keep an ongoing lifetime of abiding in his word. This is very important. The scriptures talk a lot about those who claim to be believers but are not. They're not true disciples. They may appear to be at a time. Read some scriptures. You don't have to turn there yet. But now he has Colossians 1, 22 and 23. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Here's verse 23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. And this is, we're familiar with this passage. And this is where Jesus explains the meaning of the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. Four places where the seed is sown, only one place does it take. Notice in this parable that the first three seeds sown, all of them hear the word. They can hear it. Seed sown on the path hears the message of the kingdom, but because of his lack of understanding, evil one snatches it away. Seed that fell on rocky place, they hear the word, receives it with joy, but it has no root and lasts only a short time. Seed that fell among the thorns, the man hears the word, but the worries of life, the difficulties of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. So we see people that it appears for a time, but then they fall away. Some of them quick, some of them a little bit later. It's more than just a mental or intellectual acknowledgement of the word of God. It's a change that occurs in our hearts, is what it is. And it leads to a change in our life. And we talked about that in the men's study. If we read God's word and say, yes, I believe, but we don't put it into practice, then it means nothing. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Believers hear the word of Jesus, of God. We take it, we put it into practice. Our house is built on a foundation, the rock. The foolish man hears the words also, but doesn't put them into practice. His house falls with a great crash. There's no foundation there. How many people here today do we know of, maybe people we knew years ago that started out in the faith as Christians, and then you bump into them years down the road and they're not doing anything anymore? They're not going to church. They're not reading their Bible. They just walked away. They didn't continue in the teaching of Jesus. And I've heard stories from other people. I've talked to different people in the assemblies, and they said, I was shocked. They said that so-and-so, who is a brother in one of the assemblies I knew for years, now they're doing nothing. They're just not even in the word. They no interest. William MacDonald points this out. He says, one characteristic of true believers is that we abide in his word. We continue in the teaching of Christ. We are not saved by abiding in his word, but we abide in his word because we are saved. I was saved 25 years ago, and a guy I used to work with, he knew my lifestyle from back then, so I don't blame him for saying this, but he said, yeah, we'll see where you're at like 5 years from now. I said, okay, we will. 25 years later. Again, you know, my life has not been perfect, far from it. I've had some ups and downs and some bad times, and Lord knows it, but I'm in this for the long haul. It's only one way, through his word. I can read that and get nourished. People come to Jesus for the wrong reasons. And we read throughout the book of John, people showing up for the miracles, for the food, for entertainment, whatever their case is. They're not after him, but they're after what he can provide for them. Stuff. They want stuff. A true disciple of Jesus leads a life that affirms they belong to him. Their actions prove it. Verses 39 through 41. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. Abraham was obedient to God. Abraham recognized the voice of God. When he heard God speak, he knew he was hearing God. Recognized the voice. Unlike the Jews in this passage, they wanted to kill Jesus. Their actions and their intentions, they're proven they don't belong to God. The very one that God sent, who speaks the word of God, and they can't put it together, they want to kill him. And he tells them flat out in verse 44, he says, you belong to your father, the devil. You know, the first time I read this passage when I got saved, I was like, wow, that's pretty harsh language, isn't it? Calling people the children of the devil? Wow. Well, we're going to look at that too. Jesus says in Matthew 12:30, he says, He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Most people don't know this because they think they're okay and they're good to go. But there's only two sides here. There's no in between. You're either following God, you're following the devil. Period. There's no in between here. 1 John 5:19-20. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. The whole world is under the control of the devil. And those who are not true disciples, they don't have room for Jesus' words. They don't act like children of God, and they don't continue in his teaching. They are also unable to hear what Jesus says, and because of this, they never are able to know and accept the truth. Jesus is truth. His word is truth. If you're not in this book, you're going to have a hard time discerning the truth and world philosophies. I talk to so many people. I'm a Christian. Are you? But yet their philosophies are like so worldly. I'm like, where do you get this from? It's not what I read in the scriptures. There's a connection between hearing what Jesus says and knowing the truth. In these passages we've been reading, Jesus uses the word truth, as I mentioned, 9 times. He also says this numerous times throughout these passages. He says, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Then who do you belong to? Satan. That connection of hearing the voice of God and following after him. John chapter 10, we know this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My sheep listen to my voice. They hear my voice. They know my voice. The true sheep hear the voice of God and of Jesus. They follow after him. And they're known by him. Chapter 14 of John, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, that passage that I just read from John 14 fits very well in this John chapter 8. Jesus has actually been explaining to them that he is the way, not Abraham. He's trying to tell them, I am the truth. I am who I say I am. And I am your only source of eternal life. The way, the truth, and life. Pretty much laid out here in this. John 8, verse 51 here. It says, I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. John 18, verses 37 and 38. This is what Pilate says. He says, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And this is it here. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everybody on the side of truth. You hear Jesus. You listen to Jesus if you're on the side of truth. Pilate says sarcastically, I just hear him saying, yeah, all right, what is truth? Pilate had his own issues to deal with. He wasn't really interested in truth. It was standing right before him. Truth was right there in his midst, and he didn't care to know it. This is where the rubber meets the road. I was taught very early on when I got saved that you have to remain in the Word of God. You have to get into the Word and let the Word get into you. It's the only way to know the truth, a steady diet of the Word of God. It's critical if you want to be a true disciple of Jesus. If you're not in this Word, you're going to be waning. It's going to be hard for you. It's our spiritual food, and we can't last very long without it. I had a friend back in the day when I used to compete in bodybuilding. And me and my training partner, we trained. We were basically out of our minds when we worked out. We were trained so hard that it just scared people away. And we had one guy came up to us one morning and he says, I want to work out with you two guys today. What are you training? I said, well, we're doing legs today. He says, I want to do legs with you. I said, really? Do you really want to do legs with us? He goes, yeah, yeah. I said, are you sure you want to do legs with us today? Yeah, I'm sure. He didn't make it even halfway through the workout. He was running to the bathroom to throw up. And me and my friend are looking at each other. Did we offend him? What happened? And he comes walking out of the locker room with his bag. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going home. I said, why? He said, I can't. I said, what did you have for breakfast? He says, a bologna sandwich. And we start laughing at him. He says, you were going to try to make it through one of our leg workouts on a bologna sandwich? I said, you're the one who's crazy. You know, you can't get through an intense workout on a bologna sandwich, but you can't get through this walk and get to the finish line that the Apostle Paul says, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith, on bologna theology or bologna word of God or drive-through word of God. You have to get into this word. You need that nutrition. That's our nutrition. Stay away from bologna sandwiches. Spiritual bologna sandwiches. You won't last very long in the faith. The more you read the Word of God, the more you hear the voice of God. Do we have room for His Word? If not, then we're leaving ourselves open to other voices, the father of lies. Pastor at my first church, when I got saved, he started embracing what was called the Rodney Howard Brown movement. Anybody ever hear of that? Rodney Howard Brown was a preacher from South Africa that came to the United States and brought with him this movement of slaying people in the spirit, of making people laugh in the spirit, bark like a dog in the spirit, just weird stuff. And when I saw this, I was like, you know, I talked to my mentor, and he told me, he said, this is not good. That's not God. So I went to my pastor. I said, how do you know that what you're accepting into our church is of God? He says, I said, can you? He says, well, I know the voice of God. I said, do you? He says, yes. Yeah. So, you know, he says, when my mother calls me on the phone, I talk to my mother. He says, I know her voice, and I know that's my mother calling. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, there was a comedian from the 70s and a voice impersonator named Rich Little. Rich Little and another actor got on the phone, called this other actor, and he pretended to be the actor Jimmy Stewart. Guy had like a 3-minute conversation with him, and they said goodbye and we'll talk again. The guy didn't even know he'd just been scammed. You know, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. I bet you he's a great voice impersonator. You know, you don't find this stuff in the scriptures, and this is how you determine truth. And how you hear the voice of God, and you know, you let something dangerous like that into your church, well, that church split. They split, everybody went their own ways, and there are people that I know that are no longer in the faith. That was not from God. They heard the wrong voice, listening to other voices. Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He is a murderer, not holding to the truth. He speaks lies, the father of lies. You ever wondered why so many people leave the Christian faith and go on to some other false religion or a cult? Because they start listening to the wrong voice. Instead of listening to the voice of Jesus, they fall back in the Word of God and they start hearing other voices like the father of lies who says, you know, to the Jews, no need for Jesus. Abraham is all you need and the law. Or the father of lies says, it's okay, follow any religion. Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, it's all the same, it's all good. Or he'll tell you, hey, truth is how you define it. Your truth is your truth and mine is mine. In our postmodern society today, that is so true. You talk to so many people. You can back them into a corner on that. I've watched street preachers do that and people have no response. But it's a bad philosophy. This is truth. People start listening to the teachings of Charles Taze Russell for the Jehovah's Witness. They can no longer hear the true voice of God. They start listening to the teachings of Joseph Smith, Mormonism, no longer hear the voice of God. JWs actually go out of their way to change the scriptures. The New World Translation, they make these different edits in there. It's like, man, it's such a hatchet job. It's like, to prove that Jesus isn't God, according to you, you have to change everything in your, what you call a Bible. It's no Bible at all. Mormons have a different Jesus. He's the half-brother of Satan. Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is not God the Son. He's not deity. These cults and false religions brought to you by no other than the Father of Lies. Instead of feasting on the Word of God, they start consuming spiritual baloney. And then instead of hearing the voice of Jesus, they go away from the truth. Jesus is the only way and the only truth and the only source of eternal life, period. Consider all the main religions of the world. They claim to point to the truth, don't they? In the Hindu scriptures, it says the truth is elusive, it's mysterious, and it's hard to find. That's what they say. Buddha said the truth is hidden from us. Muhammad said that he pointed to the truth. Jesus comes along, he says what? He comes to earth and he says, you know what? Truth is not elusive. It's not mysterious and it's not hard to find. He says, I'm it right here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not hard to find. But today people get highly offended if you claim to know the truth. If you say Jesus is the only way, look out. Some people, they don't like to hear that. Because then you're telling them that they're wrong. Here's a quote. It says, the more society drifts further away from the truth, the more they hate those who proclaim to know the truth. And I see this a lot. I watch street preachers on YouTube preaching in college campuses, and these people are just totally offended. Some of these people get really angry when you tell them the truth. But, you know, people commit to Jesus for the wrong reasons. And when Jesus gives them a hard teaching, then all bets are off. There's going to be difficult times in the Christian life, difficult teachings. John 6, verses 66 through 69. From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter nails it. He knows. He says, where else are we going to go? He says, you have the words. He has the truth. We believe and know that you're the Holy One of God. Those who believe in Jesus should accept his teachings. Some had faith in him, but not yet reached that point here in these passages. But Jesus starts giving them hard stuff to digest, and they want no part of it. His teaching is hard to accept. And if you think that it's been they've been angry up to this point and having a hard time with Jesus, well, it's about to get worse. Verses 51 through 53. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you're a demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? And Jesus had every right to tell them that. Who do you think you are? Verse 56 through 59. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. They picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because what he said. He said, I am. Exodus 3:14, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is like the most powerful, one of the most powerful statements that Jesus makes in the scriptures. I am. You know, God is sending Moses to Egypt. Well, who am I going to tell him? He says, I am. No explanation of his name. I am that I am. The Jews knew perfectly what Jesus was saying. Now all of a sudden they're hearing what he's saying, but they don't like it. And he's clearly proclaiming to be God, period. And according to their law, in Leviticus 24:16, anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord, they must be put to death. They need to be stoned. We see this in other places. I like John chapter 5, verse 18 says, for this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him, Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. John 10:30-33. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. There wasn't a time when somebody wasn't trying to kill Jesus. He was born, not even able to speak. They wanted to kill him. Herod put out the order. Jesus gives his first sermon in his hometown. Let's kill him. All throughout his ministry, there was no room for his word. They wanted to kill him. That's what happens when you speak the truth. Tell someone that they're a sinner who needs to be saved, and it doesn't always go over very well. People get quite angry. Let me tell you this. There's no such thing as a seeker-sensitive church or a seeker-friendly church. They don't exist. It's not in the Bible. It's not the pattern of the New Testament church. So if anybody tells you seeker-sensitive, seeker-friendly churches are good, no, they're not. And I'll explain that if you want to talk to me later. I'll give you my answer why. As one preacher said this, he said, the problem with preachers today is that no one wants to kill them. You know, there's too many preachers today giving a fluffy message, not wanting to give the truth, not wanting to offend anybody. And that's not how it's done. We don't purposely go out of our way to offend people, but if you give people the truth and it cuts to their soul, they're going to be upset. If somebody comes to a church to visit, you know, they should be a little uncomfortable, maybe a little bit taken aback by the message. John 5, verses 36 through 44. You can turn there. John 5, 36 through 44. I have testimony weightier than that of John, talking about John the Baptist. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. For you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? The Father sent Jesus and testifies about the Son. They had the Old Testament scriptures that testified about Jesus. And here it says that they have not heard the voice of God, nor does his word dwell in them. They refuse to believe and refuse to come to the only one who could give them eternal life. There was no excuse. They had everything. They should have been able to read it and say, yep. But they weren't hearing God's voice either because they didn't have God. Today we have the complete canon of scripture. We're so blessed. And there's so many scriptures. I don't have time. I just got to buzz through a couple here. But there's so many, like Titus 2:13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I like Hebrews chapter 1, 8 and 9. But about the Son, he says, God the Father, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be your scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Book of Revelation opens up with God saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. At the end, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is God. You know, I had a discussion with a Jehovah's Witness woman outside my front yard once. She came over, I started talking to her, and I said, well, let's cut to the chase. I said, is Jesus God? She goes, no. I said, well, he claimed to be God. She says, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. And So I got to John chapter 10, and it says, "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." She says, "He didn't claim to." I say, "You told me you believed in the scriptures, that they're inerrant and they're God's word." And the more I said that, she walked away from me, and as she did, I yelled it out three more times just to make sure she heard it. I said, "You, a mere man, claim to be God. So what part of this are you not hearing?" But she can't hear, because she's a children of the devil. She doesn't belong to God. She can't hear. She doesn't understand. Two verses I want to look at very quickly. John 5:22-23. "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." In John 8:24, "I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." Answers the question that, can you believe that Jesus is not God and still be saved? No, you can't. You have to believe everything about Jesus that the Bible declares about his character, his everything about him. And it claims that he is God. You can't do that. People say, "Well, I believe in God. I just don't know about this Jesus thing." So even the demons believe in God and they shudder when they hear his name. I said, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ. He proves it. If you can read the scriptures and come away after reading the New Testament and tell me you can't see that Jesus isn't God. That's the first thing. We were talking about this last week. When you get saved, what's a good place for a new believer to start? Book of John. I read that and I was like, man, Jesus is God. It's the only conclusion. Jesus is fully man and fully God. If he's anything less than God, then he can't save you from your sins. It's an essential that you believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now, why unbelief? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, if I can find it. Oh, it's right here. "The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The God of this world has blinded the minds. Again, you're in two camps. You're either in camp of God and Jesus, or belong to the other side. Well, how can someone come to belief then? You know, I watched a video with Kirk Cameron, and he was interviewing John MacArthur, and he was talking about people not believing, and then he asked John MacArthur, he said, "Well, what can make people believe?" He says, "Not what, but who." Turn to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, or 13 through 17. "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied," and here it is, "'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven.'" Or as the King James says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." This is a spiritual matter, is what it is. Again, in Acts, we see Lydia, her heart is open to receive the gospel. It says, "One listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, and says, who is a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message." I watched a video of a rabbi. Someone gave this rabbi a bunch of scriptures, not a bunch, but about five or six, that were so compelling that actually point to Jesus as being the Messiah. And one by one, he dismissed them all away. Just didn't even come close to being swayed. Now, in other words, don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. You know, it's a spiritual matter. And even Conrad and I were talking last week about a coworker of his who's Jehovah's Witness. This guy's very smart. And very intellectual. I made this mistake in the beginning too when I first got saved. I said, man, these people are so smart. Maybe I'm just not explaining it the right way. It has nothing to do with your intellect. This is a spiritual matter. I think it's a good idea when we witness to people that we basically ask God to open their heart. You know, ask them for doors to open and say, Lord, open their heart that they would hear and believe your message. You know, the Jews were unbelieving, and someone said this: the Jews were expecting a lion, and instead they got a lamb. Now, instead of getting the lamb, they will get the lion. I'm getting a little help here, so I don't have to speak as much. I may do that next time, is like just point to Kurt and let him do it. I want to close off here. I'm going just a tad bit over. I promise it'll only be just a few minutes. But I want Philip to play a video real quick of our dear friend Joel Olstein. I want you to hear this.
And I was very nervous before I interviewed him, and he couldn't have been nicer and, you know, put my nerves at ease. And it was just really wonderful to see what an impact he has on so many people. I mean, 40,000 people coming to hear you preach, that's a big movement.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Joel Osteen. I'm excited about my new book, The Power of I Am, two words that can change your life today. When you say, I am strong, strength comes looking for you. I am blessed, blessings start tracking you down. Or I am unlucky, bad breaks start heading your way. I'll help you choose the right I ams so you can live a happy, healthy, successful life. I hope you'll pick up a copy for you and a friend.
That's good. No, I will not be picking up a copy of that. Yeah. This guy, you know, I used to think that he was just, he knew the scriptures, he just believed it in another way. And now I'm even starting to doubt that he knows the scripture. How can anyone take I am and then turn it into something like that? This guy, that takes a special kind of stupid. Really does. He says, I am, the power of two words can change your life today. When you say I'm strong, strength comes looking for you. When you say I'm blessed, blessings come tracking you down. Yeah. Well, I am unlucky and bad breaks start heading your way. He says, I'll help you choose the right I am so that you can have a happy, healthy, and successful life. Really? Whew, man. This is what's called self-worship, and it's right out of Satan's playbook. Okay? He's hearing a different voice. He ain't hearing the voice of God, I got to tell you. He also says in the book, I am strong, I am confident, I'm talented, I'm beautiful. He says, you want to know? You know what? To Mr. Olstein, I'd say, you know what the power of I am is? The power of I am is Jesus dying on the cross, taking the wrath of God that I deserved. That's what it is. Power of I am is imputed righteousness to me based on what Jesus has done. Power of I am is Jesus rising from the dead, conquering death to give me life. Power of I am is Jesus at the right hand of God pleading my case. Power of I am is that grip he has on me with the Father says no one can snatch me from his hand. That's the power of I am. It has nothing to do with this crazy stuff. Let's sum it up like this, and I'm done. I'm sorry for going over. Somewhere along the way, these people, these Jews, they started reading or listening to bologna sandwich theology. They got to the point where they could no longer hear the word of God. As a result, they're no longer in the truth. They're not continuing the word of God. And those who didn't follow Jesus after all, they weren't continuing Jesus' word. They're not true disciples. And unfortunately, some of these people latch on to the philosophies of the world and they're children of the devil. And it's a spiritual matter. Some people from this will become so disappointed when their I am formula doesn't work for them. And then they look around and they're so disappointed and they go away, never to be seen again in the church. You know, I've met people like this. And I know people like this right now, who are in these charismatic churches who are all about what Jesus can give me, not worshiping him for the I am that he is. It's like, I want to get stuff. The bottom line is, do you know Jesus? Do you have room for his word in you? You may have many needs in this life, and some of those are legit. You know, if I never have health, if I never have self-esteem or whatever. I don't care what it is. If I'm not talented, it doesn't matter. I got the great I am. I'm going to spend eternity with my Creator. That's where it's at. Need to come to Jesus, repent of our sins, trust in Him, place our faith in Him alone, continue in His Word. I want to encourage everybody here, continue in the Word. That's the only way you'll know the truth. And you won't be swayed by the philosophies of today if you stay in this. You'll hear God's voice very clearly, and He'll point right back to His Word. Let's pray.